Let's get started. Amen. It's a little bit of a game. Like, who's ready? All right. Amen. Let's find our hymnal. Turn over to number 355. 355. Let's all stand together. What a friend we have in Jesus. Now, remember, this is the hymn we sang Sunday. And this is Joseph Scriven, his letter to his mom.
What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Father, we're thankful for this time to be gathered together in your house. Thankful for the occasion that we have to come together in prayer. And Lord, I pray that you would bless, have your own way, and we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
Good evening, everybody. It's weird to be here, not here, and back here again, and traveling, and we had a wonderful time in Washington. Thank you for the prayers. I did the whole trip driving back, 12 long hours, but we're safely made it home, and it's good to be back in this home. Missed you guys while we were away. Missed the Shores, who were here this past Sunday. How did that go? Was it good to hear from them? And I would, you know, it's kind of I love missionaries, and to miss them being here, that I felt it. But praying for them and continue to pray for them. And then also on the back of this is up to date. Okay. On the back, we have praise for Krista's sister who had the healthy baby. And then spiritual needs, again, just pray for each other's families. Certainly, we all have someone in our families who doesn't know the Lord, and we want them to know the Lord. So, again, as we pray for each other's families, and that encouraging, the Lord will touch somebody's heart because He wants everybody to come to know Him as their personal Lord and Savior. And then going down, we have Tyler Brinkley, the missionary to Scotland. As that's our missionary for the week we're praying for. Or inside of this. Oh, sorry. getting it. the Missionary of the Week is the shores to Scotland. So continue to pray for them and for all our missionaries, certainly. As we go through, and Brother John spends a lot of time in that, I just challenge you to, as one of the missionaries that was here, saying, let's not just kind of generically pray for these, praying for our missionaries, but with all the time John invests, pick up an old letter and just go through and continue to pray. So that way there we actually see the answered prayers. And that's what really getting together as a group like this Wednesday night, and we already sang it, bring our prayers to the Lord. I encourage you to just be more specific and not just generic. So that's the challenge I'm giving you tonight. And with that, I'll take up some prayer requests. And Miss Jessica is like thinking. Pastor, you got anything? Any concerns that we need to pray about?
Just with our academy, next week is our
kind of graduation ceremony type thing. Okay, so yeah, come out and encourage the kids. And again, we'll pray for them in the back, and for the school registration going well. We're looking forward to year number two, and that'll be a blessing. Year number one seemed like it went great. Just looking back at all the things that we had to accomplish to even get to school, that was just amazing. And then we are now finishing our first year. So come on out, be a part of that, be a part of their show support for the kids who are in school, and keep them in prayer. So anybody else have it? Eddie?
We're going to be working nights in the next couple of days. My crew is relatively young, and we're going to be right around the rocket that's being stacked. So we'll just prepare for safety for the next couple of nights. Their situational awareness is almost non-existent. Pray that no one gets tired and they're going too long.
All right, so Eddie's asking for a prayer for his crew to stay safe around the rockets and stuff where they're going to be working. Anybody else have anything? Newborn niece was the question he had. And then, one person, please give me a praise. Something great that's happened so far in this week as we meet midweek. Eddie's got a praise.
Get to work at night
because he's not in the sun. That, I know that, working construction. That's why I'm in security now, because I got tired of being out in the heat. Security, I'm in the building. Air condition, it's good. Occasionally we go outside to check the outside, but not very often. We do it all from inside. Anybody else? Ms. Cheryl.
MRI, we only have one because the middle of the basket heats up.
Okay.
And they weren't aware of that, so he wasn't allowed to have all three of them. But the one they were most concerned about being back, good. So
that's great. Amen. Amen. For Hayden, getting a good MRI. Anyone else? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Ah, she did come. She's putting that. Okay. Pastor. So, everything go well with the doctors. They guide their hands and give you a good report. And that was Friday? Okay. All right. If Brother Joe?
his abortion and my neck. Okay, pain in the neck.
It's like this whole side got pointed to. So. You're good, you're all over here, you're good. There's no finger pointing this way, it all went that way. Amen. So if that's it, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's, again, hit those missionaries with something special for them. Amen.
Amen. Let's turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs. I'd like to encourage you on Wednesday nights is while we're praying. And when you finish, if you'd let others finish. And so if we get, I'm not scolding you, don't feel scolded, but there's still people praying. And when we go into talking while others are still praying, it interrupting that time. Let's make that first few minutes a time of focusing on that if we could and let folks finish and pray longer. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 2 and in verse 1. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. Bible says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. All right. We're going to go into something tonight that's going to be a little bit different than what we've, I mean, same concept. We're here talking about the voice of wisdom, right? Wisdom is doing something. What's wisdom doing? Whoa. Teaching. Crying? No, you don't go from this. Go from what we heard in the past.
Calling.
Thank you. Wisdom is calling to us, right? It's chapter 1 talking about wisdom is calling to us, trying to get our attention. So number one, wisdom must be received with, you're not going to guess it, submission. With, yeah, see, now my goal is to just not let you get them all. Some of them you can guess, but some of them I got to keep you guessing a little bit where you can't get it so you tune in. Otherwise, I got them all done. Anyhow, wisdom, here's the thing we're going to talk about tonight. Wisdom must be received with submission. And it's what he says there, if thou wilt receive my words. That word wilt is willing. You've got to be willing. You can't make somebody receive wisdom. Right? You can't make somebody desire it. Right? You just need to do right. That doesn't really make it too far, does it? Doesn't really work too well like that. So A, under that, wisdom begins with a willingness to receive what's been spoken. Okay, that's where it starts. It starts with this willingness to receive what's been spoken. So you come here tonight, are you willing to receive what's been spoken. So it's the opposite of what we saw last week, which is that A, under there, the issue is no longer refusing or rejecting or setting at naught counsel, you know, that kind of thing. He said, talks about that. So what we talked about last week is what happens when you do not receive wisdom, right? When you reject it. And it comes, and he says, and you reject it. There's some consequences with it. So it's the opposite here is coming with a desire. And I don't mean just here tonight. But when we hear the Word of God, when we hear wisdom calling, a willingness to say this, I want to know. I want to know what God wants. I want to know the heart of God. Or last week what we kind of talked about is I don't even want to know. That's set at naught the counsel, which is means count it valueless, right? It's kind of what we talked about last week is, yeah, whatever. You know, the Word of God or the wisdom of God begins to say, here's the direction, and we come off with a kind of thought that says, you know, I know that works for you, but I just don't think that would work for me, or I don't want it to work for me. So this is the opposite of that tonight. We're looking at the other side of that. Now the willingness side is I like positive better than negative. Amen. I like positive consequences better than negative consequences. Right? You get more money back instead of having to pay more money. I wish I always got positive from the IRS. Maybe that was positive. I don't know what that was. Anyhow, number two. Now the heart is in a place. Okay, versus last time. The heart is in a place where God's words are welcomed. Okay? It's God's Word now. The difference is now we're talking about God's words are welcomed. Like we want it. We're kind of thinking, not instead of holding back, they're welcome to us. We want to be. Wisdom must be hidden, not merely heard. Look at verse 1 again, the second half. Hide my commandments with thee. Okay, I want us to get this thing, hide my commandments with this thing of commandments. Number one, commandments here are more than rules. Okay, more than rules. They are the instruction, guidance, and direction of wisdom. I want us to get this part, folks. When we talk about commandments here in the word of in Proverbs here, we're not talking about like the Ten Commandments. We're not talking about all of the Old Testament law in that sense. We're talking about these kind of things in relation to this thing of wisdom. We're talking about instruction, guidance, and direction of wisdom. So number two, but also, it's more than just listening to preaching. Okay? It's more than just listening to preaching. It is storing, guarding, and keeping of it. Okay? Listen, it's not just to hear it. You thought I was going to be all positive tonight. No, the concept is positive. But just being here doesn't mean we're going to get wisdom. Right? We got to do more than just be there. We got to receive it and guard it and keep it. We're going to talk about it in just a moment here. But number three, true wisdom begins when the truth of God is allowed. Who allows it? We're the ones allowed. The hearer allows it to take root in the heart. Yeah, in the heart. I have to give you a loud sometime. You're right. Under that. So it's not just rules to follow, but wisdom that shapes who we are. You get that? Stay with me here before you turn there. Okay? We're not talking about rules to follow. I'm telling you, I've watched this. I've watched it over and over and over among our kind of people. Strict rule followers. Until they're not. And usually strict rule followers, when they fall off the wagon, they fall hard. Right? So we're talking about not just rules to follow, but wisdom is really about, it's wisdom that literally shapes who we are. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Go over to chapter 7 right quick. Proverbs chapter 7. You're going to see that here. He says it a little bit later. He says it this way. He said, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. This is the concept he's talking about. So see, say here in chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 7. Say it's chapter 7. There is to be a keeping, not simply of laws, rituals, or ceremony, right? He doesn't say, you know, keep my ritualistic practices. But he's talking about, but to keep what? My words, is what he said. Keep my words. Number one, this is so much more than what we do. We're moving along pretty quick, right? It's going to slow down. Don't get excited, okay? I've got 10 pages and we're on page 3. So here it is. This is so much more than what we do. It's what this is talking about. It's not just what we do. It's what we become. And this is really what he's getting at here. It's not just what we do. It's not keeping rules, keeping rituals, and keeping the patterns. And, you know, we talk about how much our relationship with God is. And often I talk to people, I say, well, you know, ask somebody about if they're a Christian or something, they talk about, oh yeah, and they'll begin to give you a list of what they do. I do this, I pray, I go to church, I do this thing, and I do this. And they'll give you a list of what they do, right? That kind of tracks with how we think, doesn't it? It's kind of how we think is the list to do. But what wisdom says, it's not just what we do, but it's what we become. I've known some very grumpy people that do all the right things, but they're not happy about it. You know what I mean? It's like they're mad they're a Christian. Right? You know what I'm saying? You're watching me like, you know, you're doing all the right stuff. You dress right. You talk right. You look right. You do the thing. You know, you're at the right place. You're doing all this. You do all the right things. But your face doesn't know it's supposed to bring joy. Right? And you talk to other people about Jesus, and it sounds like you're mad what you have to do. Well, we have to go to church. Right? We're having choir practice. Our folks don't do that. I don't. Well, at least I don't know about it. The ones at my house don't. Anyway. Or do they? No. Now, it doesn't mean we're not excited when we have a choir practice off either. I'm not, no, misunderstand. But the thing is, what I'm talking about, what I'm trying to get at, the wisdom isn't just about what we do. It's really about what we become. It's something that it shapes us. It becomes something in us. The words of God, when truly received, change us. They really do. The words of God changes us. It really does. And so the changed heart, right? When we respond and we're willing and we desire wisdom to do something, here's the problem, folks. There's a lot of hobby horses to stop every now and then, right? Rabbit trails, whatever you want to call it. Here's the problem. Many times we want to hear, but we don't want it to affect us. Or we want to know, but we don't want it to change us. I want to have information to deal with, to think about, so I can tell other people to hear or to tell some new thing, right? But I don't necessarily want it to transform me and transform my life. This is typically how we are. But the changed heart, listen, the changed heart has a new purpose. I become changed. I become something different. I have a new purpose. My goals have changed. I have a new desire. What used to be important to me, the things I used to do, I don't want them anymore. See, I tricked y'all. Y'all know the song. It's not just that I don't do them. I don't want that anymore. The things I used to want, I don't want that anymore. My desires change. Well, how does that happen? Well, you just need to quit wanting that. No. Wisdom, the words of the Lord, change what I used to. Isn't it weird? You're like, all of a sudden you realize, man, what I have been tracking down, what I've been heading down, what I've been giving my life to, I don't even want it anymore. It's strange. It becomes really weird. And you're almost saying, how did that happen to me? It's amazing. It's not something you, for the most part, I don't think one day you just realize, I don't want that anymore. All of a sudden, one day something comes up and you're like, no, you've been changed. You start making different decisions, and all of a sudden people around you say, you're not going to do that. It's kind of, I've told you about, maybe some of you about Brother King, good preacher friend of mine, when he, God had convicted him, he's an avid bow hunter. And one day he just felt like the Lord had him say, and he went and sold his bow. His two children were bawling, crying, what's wrong, Daddy? Right? What's wrong that you would sell your bow? Like they thought he was dying or something. Like something is going wrong. No, I mean, sometimes it can go like that. People are like, well, why are you changing that? Well, this is what wisdom does to us. It changes us. It changes to really sometimes to the point people that should be for you, all of a sudden are like, what's wrong with you? And it becomes strange. But there becomes a new purpose, a new desire, and then there's a new focus. Look at verse 2 of chapter 7. He says, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Okay, so number 2. We hide the words of God in our heart. It becomes, so what it does, it becomes a guarded part of who we are. This is why, you know, to memorize the Bible and to get to know it and be intimate with it, to just know it so well, it's hidden. I don't mean just hearing it at church. But you take that home, and here's what I highly recommend people to do. Whatever you hear preached here, go home and read that. Go home and read that. Make sure that you understand what was said, because you're hearing in about 45 minutes to an hour, depends on the Sunday. You're hearing what I've spent hours preparing, so you got it condensed, and that's why do preachers talk so fast? Because they've got a lot to say, right? I spent all week sometimes, put days, hours putting that together. So you got to unwrap it a little bit. All right. So go home and spend some time, get to know it, and so when it becomes a guarded part of who you are, it begins to change you. We got to when we desire it, it does that to us. So A, under that, we are to keep wisdom as the apple of our eye. Not a weird phrase. Apple of our, and I thought, what does that mean in Hebrew? I was curious because I things like this come up. I'm like, I know what that means in English because we use it. It's an English phrase, but it really is what it means. Let me give you a couple things. It's meaning this. The concept, though, is meaning to guard wisdom so closely that it becomes central to who you are. The idea, the word in Hebrew, it's really the phrase, it's actually two words. It says the little man of the eye. That's what the word apple means. It's the little man of the, like the little man. Isn't that weird? Like, what on earth is that? And so you get real close to somebody and you look in their pupil, you see yourself. It's the little man that you see in the eye. And so it's that's weird. That's actually what that word is. That's weird. Like, why did, and so, but they would use that phrase just like we use a lot of phrases that don't actually mean what they mean. We kind of use them as a euphemism and type of thing. And so it really means this, to be central on that, to keep it so central, so guarded, and so much central who we are. And so it continues the concept of hiding them with thee, as it said in chapter 2, verse 1. Hiding the commandments with thee. So now look at verse 3, chapter 7, or in chapter 7, still verse 3. Bind them upon thy fingers. So we put wisdom on our fingers. That's why some people have finger tattoos that say, I love Jesus. No, you don't believe that. No. Okay. You're like, that's not right. So remember, the book of Proverbs is an interesting. It's a poetic book, right? So here's what it means. It's saying this: wisdom is to be at our fingertips. It's to be at our fingertips, right? So when we say that, we'd say something like, "Keep it at your fingertips." We mean keep it what? Close to you, handy, that kind of thing. It's not necessarily actual fingers. Other places it talks about you put a ring on or something like that. There's some of this kind of idea in other places of the New Testament. But the idea is this. Seems to be that concept of keeping it close to us. But also, what else do we do with our fingers? Well, what we do with our fingers is everything that we do. Right? We don't. Most people don't pick up things with their toes. Unless you don't have any fingers. Right? And some people are like, yeah, I can. You want to see? No, I don't want to see. Okay? But the idea is this, and the Bible uses some of these, in the New Testament talks about these different parts of the body when it's talking about the members of a church, some of the eyes, some of the ears, some of the hands, this kind of thing, the feet, this kind of thing. So wisdom isn't something we hear or write down, even though you should take notes, or even just something that we read. So wisdom isn't something that we hear, write down, or read. It is to be hidden with us, right? It's to be something that's so part of everything that we are. Look again at verse 3. He goes on in chapter 7, verse 3, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. So it's hidden with us. That's the concept. So see, write it upon our hearts. This is what he's talking about. Again, not a tattoo that says Jesus loves me painted on my chest. Right? Write it on your heart. Okay? The heart's a muscle. It's weird, isn't it? It's not talking about, you know, I've had open heart surgery carved into my heart. No, that's not what he's talking about. It's really this, but engraved in our hearts he's talking about. This written in us. It's become part of us. You see the message of receiving wisdom is supposed to be part of us. So much so that it is part of us. It's not there's wisdom and then there's me. It becomes part of me. Look at verse 4, chapter 7, verse 4. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. So what we find, and you're like, why did it say sister and kinswoman? Well, because wisdom is a woman, right? Well, it's a word in the feminine, okay? Not really a woman. It's personified in the female because it's female gender word. So another metaphor given here is the closeness of a familial relationship. It's what he's trying to give. This is how close. The closeness that wisdom should have with us is as close as we can be in a relationship. Some people suggest, except for this guy, no. Some people suggest, and I read some commentary, different things. They say, some say that relationship is even more than a sister, maybe more like a spouse and this. I don't know about that, but the concept is it's a family relationship, tight relationship. And you say, well, you don't know my family. A family that you like, right? And that's, by the way, a lot of times God talks about fathers, talks about brothers, talks about, the idea is a right kind of relationship. Not a poor one. You understand? And sometimes there are poor ones. That's, if you got a poor relationship somewhere, that's not the example. The example is what it's supposed to be like. Matter of fact, it's what you really know it should be and why you know yours isn't right. See what I'm saying? Okay, number two, Roman 2. Roman numeral 2. Wisdom must be pursued with intention. We're back to chapter 2 now. Back to chapter 2 in verse 2. He says, so that, okay, go back to one again. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide thy commandments with thee, how so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. So here it is. A, inclining the ear toward wisdom is the deliberate turning of our attention toward what God has said. It gives this idea. It gives this idea that somebody. You ever heard? Yeah, when somebody speaks so quiet, you can't understand what they're saying. You know, they're like talking so quiet. It's just like some people. When you already have a little bit off hearing, I've got hearing loss in one ear. It really kind of makes it imbalanced. And so I've got a lot of excuses, and so. Sometimes people get talking quiet and there's other noise going on and I'm just thinking, you know what I'll do sometimes? I'll do this. Kind of like I'm adding ear to my ear. You know what I'm doing? I'm kind of adding, you know what I'm doing? I'm inclining my ear to hear what they're saying. You say, you ever done that? You're like, somebody's talking, like maybe it's a conversation, a bunch of noise, and you're like, what? And then you realize, oh, I don't care. You know what I mean? You okay, that's just gossip. But it's this thing of turning our attention. If you'll turn your attention toward what God has said, it means I'm not going to just let it get to my ear, but, wow. I need that. Number one, wisdom is not found by accident. We must apply ourselves to receiving it. Take some effort, folks. You're here on a Wednesday night. You're already showing some effort. Amen. Good for you. Everybody give each other a hand. All right? There you go. Amen. Some folks have to go through a lot of things just to get here on a Wednesday night. We're working all day, doing other things, try to clean up, get. There's a sacrifice. There's already at least. But you know what we can do? We can get ourselves into a place where we just do this because it's what we do. People could come here every service just because it's what we do. But it's this thing of inclining our ear to, and then apply ourselves, apply what God said. Let me get a hold of it. And meaning this, we have to engage during the service. You know what happens if you don't engage during the service? Right? You ever seen anybody do that in church? Okay, it was me. Yeah, it was me. Yeah, I can sometimes be the worst person, the worst congregant, I guess. I don't know what you, but just sit there, and if you're not, I could tell who's not tuned in. No, preacher, I listen with my eyes closed. I know you do. I'm just like I do. Right up until it starts, right? I was listening right up until I fell over on the pew, right? And I'm being a little funny, but because that's what I do. But I am being serious. Because what happens is we have to engage during the service. Here's what engaging means. It's like I'm ready to receive this and apply it. You don't fall asleep with an interesting conversation. You know, if you're interested in what somebody's saying, you're not, wow, that's great. Unless you're narcoleptic, is that the word, I think? You know, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, that's great. You know, no, you know, most people don't do that. So when we have, by the way, I'm not saying we never get so tired that, man, I'm trying to preach. I get it. It's not a critique, folks. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Sometimes it's just hard. Sometimes we have medical issues. So don't. Like, he never cares. No, I see. Well, it's mostly he's. But, you know, sometimes it's Jesus. She falls asleep. She doesn't care. No, probably, maybe they had a. Judge yourself, okay? What we're talking about is receiving something here is this. We have to engage during the service. You ever done this? We have to engage in our reading. You ever been reading the Bible and you woke up? I realize when I'm tired in the morning, that ain't my time to engage. Matter of fact, it's what bothered me, and I'd feel like I just got to do this to be right with God. I got to just, you know, and you find yourself, you're just like, oh. And then you're just so relieved when you read your three verses so I can say I read something today, right? That's not engaging. No, it's got to be fun. Some people, they're up at, you know, 4 a.m. with their coffee, and they're like, okay, all right, if you're like that, amen for you. Do it then. But engaging in our reading, engaging in our meditation when we're meditating on the Word of God, engaged in it. Here, look at verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. So, B, we find here what a response to wisdom's call looks like. Okay, here's what it looks like. Here's when we respond to wisdom's call. Here's what it looks like. It's a crying out for knowledge. That's B under that. Our response to wisdom calling out to us is seeking her in return. That's what it looks like. You're like, wow, I thought you were going to get to something much more deep than that. No, it is just that. It's really that simple. It's when wisdom cries out to us, I've got something to give you. I've got something you need. The response is, give it to me. I bring it. Amen? That's good. It's not. Amen. Yeah, take that in mind. That's good. No, it's this crying out for knowledge. I want that. Okay? So, C. No, under that one. This is not casual interest. It is a heart that knows it needs what God gives. I need that. Man, I need that. Folks, I don't mean everything you hear. Every message I preach is going to change your world. I mean, potentially, if it's the Word of God. And sometimes things land a little different on us, right? Sometimes things land a little different. It's like, well, sometimes I've been in a service and there's been some service that I've just been, wow. I can't believe that I've been missing that. That's what I needed in my life. I needed to hear that. And it's life-changing. One message, life-changing. Just sends my direction, new focus, new direction, new purpose. And then there's others like, amen, that's good preaching. I like that. I agree with that. Amen. And sometimes it's just exciting. It's interesting, but sometimes it just grabs a hold of us. But it's not casual interest. It's got to be that kind, knowing I need what God has for me. And then C, C. There's no Roman numeral C yet. Maybe there is. I guess there is. That's like 100, isn't it? Yeah, sorry. It's not 100. Okay, C. Wisdom must be valued to seek her. Okay, look at verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Okay, number one, silver is searched for because it's considered valuable, right? Silver isn't valuable because it's valuable. It's valuable because people will pay for it because they treat it as worth something. Maybe it's rare and that type of thing. Number two, hidden treasure is pursued. Watch this. It's pursued because it is worth the effort. That's why you pursue hidden treasure, because pursuing something costs you something. Costs you time, costs you energy, costs you effort. We were trying to find some toothpicks earlier at my house. Do we have, anyway, it doesn't matter. We're trying to find toothpicks, and one of the girls said, do we have toothpicks? I'm like, I don't know. Well, actually, she said, you probably don't know. I said, I probably don't know, but I'll help you look. Because she was doing it for a game. Callie Jones back to doing it for a game back then. I'm like, let's try to find it. And we can't find it. And then Kayla walks in and says, hey, you know what she does? I'm going to go find it. And so she looks at all the same. So Joe looked in all the places. I went and looked where she did. And then Kayla went and looked where we both did. And that's kind of, did y'all find it? She didn't even say anything to you. Okay, I was wondering. We'll find out later. You know why it's worth it? It's worth the effort because we value it. Well, for her, she needed it for a game to show the kids, to show some illustration, whatever it was. She said, we want to do this. And she said, you think the gas station has any? I said, I don't think the gas station has toothpicks. They might. So they probably do. So here's the thing. When the reason we would pursue that hidden treasure is because it's worth the effort. It's worth the effort. We've got to find. The only way we're going to get a hold of wisdom is if we decide it's worth the effort, because it's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me some of my time, some of my energy. I'm going to have to sacrifice something I could have had instead. It's worth it to me. Worth it. We've got to decide that before we'll really treat it that way. A, when you seek wisdom rightly, when you believe wisdom is... You will seek wisdom rightly when you believe wisdom is worth more than what you are leaving behind. You will seek it rightly when what you're leaving behind is not as valuable as what you're going after. So, Roman numeral 3. Wisdom leads us to the knowledge of God. Look at verse 5. Then, don't you like to get to the then? Okay, it's all the, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So, A, the result of finding wisdom is not just better decisions. Okay, wisdom doesn't just give you better decisions. Well, if I was wiser, I would know more stuff. It's not just like that. Number one, wisdom causes us to understand the fear of the Lord. See, it's not just I know more stuff about God. It's that I understand Him. Now, I don't mean I understand Him like totally. Still working on that. And I'll get there one day, like when I get up in heaven. But to know more, the more wisdom I get, the more I can understand God too. It teaches us to see life in relation to God. In relation to God. So it sees everything that comes along. When this happens, I see that event in relation to God. When this thing happens to me, So if I've been receiving wisdom, I've been getting, you know what I see? I see what God is doing with me. What He did with me, I see that in relation to Him. So now it just becomes consuming. We become like addicted to the Lord. Right? It's so like everything that happens, it's like God did that for me. You ever seen people just walk? They think the whole world revolves around God. It's strange, right? Right? It's like everything that happens, it's God doing something in their life. Amen. That's what wisdom does. Now, by the way, if a person is only sees the positive things it's from God and the negative things, that's Satan. They've kind of misunderstood wisdom. But we find this concept going on here. This thing of this teaches us to see life in relation to God. Number three, the pursuit of wisdom is ultimately the pursuit of knowing God rightly. It's really what it is. It's to know Him as He is, not how I've changed Him to be. Okay, number four, Roman numeral four. Wisdom is given by the Lord. Look at verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So, A, the Lord is the source of wisdom, right? It is not discovered apart from God. Okay, look here. When we find here this thing of out of God's mouth, okay, have you heard God say anything? Yeah, I mean, we haven't heard it with our ear. Yeah, we hear it from... of course, a lot of times we're still, just like the finger, the heart, these things, it's coming from God is the point. So number one, wisdom is not produced by human cleverness. Okay? Ah, you're so smart. You're so clever. No, that's not wisdom. It's not. Listen, B, wisdom comes from what God has spoken. When we talk about, listen, that the main thing, He's the source. That's what we're getting at here. Number one, knowledge and understanding are found where God's word is received. Knowledge and understanding are found where, in the place, and by the individual that will receive God's word. Let me just skip through this and I'll say these things. Number two, the voice of wisdom is not independent from the voice of God. We don't, in other words, there's no just, I just know this is right. Listen to what I'm saying. I just know this is right. I just know this is good. I just know it. Can I call it hogwash? You know what hogwash is? I don't know either, but it's not pretty. There is no, I just know it. I just know it's right. Stop that. There's no wisdom apart from the voice of God. I just feel it. Stop. We don't find that. Now, if what you feel and what you know agrees with the Word of God, amen. Matter of fact, I think we can feel something that agrees with the Word of God. Feels good. Feels right. Feels joyful. Feels rejoicing. Feels happy. The Bible talks about all those words. But if I don't find it in there, and I just know it outside of there, something's wrong. Because that's not what God said. It's not how that works. Apart from God, there is no wisdom or understanding. Amen? There's none. So, here's our conclusion. Here's the conclusion tonight. Wisdom is called in chapter 1, but many refused it. Right? In chapter 1, many refused. Now chapter 2 shows the other side. The wise man is not the one who merely hears wisdom's voice, but one who receives it, hides it, inclines toward it, cries after it, seeks it, and values it. So the question is not only, have I heard wisdom, but am I seeking wisdom like a treasure? Because the one who truly receives wisdom does not treat this lightly. The one who truly desires and seeks and values does not treat this as if it is one of the things that direct my life. It is it. It's pretty narrow, isn't it? It's pretty narrow. And So I don't think it has to be that narrow, Pastor. I just don't think it has to be that. You know, you can have, I've had really smart ideas before. I'm sure you have. And I have too, really smart ideas that sounded really good to me. Right? And we can have ideas, different things, projects, so forth. When I'm talking about wisdom, I'm talking about truths, the things of God. When the key to this, I think, tonight is this. God, I want you, I want your word to change me. I want it to change me. And I know it sounds, that sounds kind of dull. I mean, probably not to this group. that can sound really dull to the world. Like, that sounds like a bunch of not fun. That sounds like a lot of boring. A big old sack of boring. Who wants that? Taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm telling you. When God will change us with His Word, it is so amazing that we'll want more. Father, I do pray that You'd help us tonight with this truth from the book of Proverbs, and Lord, that we would be of those that would receive it and treasure wisdom when wisdom calls out to us. And Lord, it's not always easy for us. And Lord, change is always a challenge, and realizing that we're not really where we ought to be is difficult. And yet, Lord, You have shown us and made it clear throughout Your Word that we constantly need You to shake our foundation, to show us that there's still some things in our life that aren't quite meeting up to Your desire. And Lord, we're not a perfect people. We are perfecting. So Lord, I pray that You would help us, each of us, every one of us here tonight, Lord, that we would earnestly desire and seek to know Your truth, and we desire to change us. And Father, have Your will and way through the remainder of this week, and we'll give You the thanks for it now in Jesus' name.